जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय अद्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद जय अद्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे श्री हरि नाम संकीर्तन की जाय हरे कृष्ण वांछ कृपा सिंधुभ्यो च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः हरे कृष्ण सो टुडे इज संडे द डे व्हेन द सन ऑफ Krishna's mercy is shining upon the entire universe. It is also the moon day, the full moon day, when the glory and benevolent rays of Gauranga Mahaprabhu are shining on this universe as well. It's a holiday, but as Radhana Maharaj said, it's a holy day. It's not the holy day, it is the holiest of all days. Not because it is a day of holy, but it is really the holiest of all days, as per the divine words of Vrindavan Das Thakur. My morning was blessed today. I slept on the terrace of the temple, and I deliberately slept in the open sky. I wanted my body to bathe in the rays of the night. And the first darshan I had in the morning was of the beautiful morning sun, moon. It was so divine, looking at the moon. This is the same moon. This is not a different moon. Which was there on that day also. That is today. Exactly 528 years ago. This is the same moon which was shining in Navadvip and all over the entire universe. The gifts, this drama depicted the gifts of Lord Chaitanya. And there are too numerous to be enumerated. The human mind can never fathom what has been brought to this world. Our frog-like intelligence, who has only learned to live in a small well of 3 feet, can only appreciate money, wealth, power and fame as being opulences and blessings. But to be undeservingly blessed with something so profound, so high, so great as the wealth, not of the heavens, not of all the celestial boards which are there in this universe, but a treasure which is the Lord's own treasury box. We have our safe deposit lockers. We put a little bit of gold and a little bit of money, some cash, some dollars there. But the Lord has His own safe deposit vault, which He never shares with anybody. He did not share this wealth for a long, long, long time. How long? Srila Damodar Goswami says, Anar pita charim chirat karunaya avtirna kalav samarpetum unnato jadrasam sabhaktiri shriyam. Chiram chirat, for a long time, it is exactly 8 billion 60 million years. For 8.6 billion years, which is a long, long, long time in cosmic history, that this wealth was kept safeguard in the personal treasury box of the Lord. But the whole universe and all the scriptures and all the demigods were waiting for this day. Waiting for this day in great anticipation. Because what this day would bring would change the course of time. Shri Gaur Nitai Radha Gopinath Gopalji Maharaj ki jai. What today's day would bring would change forever the course of history. In fact, it would change the very course of time itself. Because the person who controls time, the time factor himself, has come. The Ganga descends from the heavens and lands at Gomukh, a beautiful, powerful glacier, and then inundates the Indian subcontinent with its holy waters, fertilizes all the lands, and purifies millions of souls. So where did the spiritual abode of the Lord actually descend in this world? Where did that wealth first descend, which was the Gomukh of this world, which would then flood through this glacier? What was that glacier on which it descended? That glacier was Srivas Angan. It was this most powerful, otherwise small-looking house. You go today, it is not an impressive structure at all. The cement structure with a few pillars, but a beautiful altar, three altars. You enter that road. There cannot be a better road in this world than this road. The same road, beginning with Chandrashekhar Bhavan, Jogapit, Srivasangan, Mahabhuchandra Mandir, Ganga. This is the most celebrated, most pure of all pures, the road to the spiritual world. This is the road to the spiritual world. So on this road is this very, very holy place of the courtyard of Srivasangan, his own home. You enter at gate, go to the right side. Many of you have been there already, you know the experience of entering this very, very divine place. And you will be greeted by three beautiful altars. On the first left is the altar of Radha Krishna with Gauranga Mahaprabhu, reminding us that this is the place where Radha Krishna performed their pastimes. This is the Rasa Sthali of Navadvip. In the center you find the Supreme Lord, not Krishna, but Mahaprabhu sitting on the altar with the parasol on his head, held by Nityananda Prabhu. Adityacharya with folded hands. This is the beautiful darshan of the Mahaprakash Leela. One of the most celebrated Leelas before the Lord's taking of sannyas. One of the most celebrated of Navadvip Leelas is the Shapta Praharya Leela. The 7-hour revelation Leela of the Lord. To our right is another altar where there are devotees performing kirtan, oftentimes with a broken mudanga there. That broken mudanga is a place where khola, bhanga, danga, the mudanga was broken by the soldiers of Chand Kazi. And that's the place where the first, most powerful public exhibition of Sankirtan movement was begun. The house of Srivas Thakur to the palace of Chand Kazi. In that same beautiful compound of Srivas Angan, two other divine places, Advaita Bhavan and Gadadhar Angan. Let us try to fathom with our minds the divinity and holiness of this place, where Panchatattva, Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita, Gadadhar, Srivasadi, Gaura Bhaktara. These are the prime entities who have brought the greatest gift of the spiritual sky to liberally give anyone and everyone, patra patrana dekhi, na dekhi sthana sthan, to everybody in this entire creation. And they all stayed in this one small compound. Krishna, Srimati Radharani, Mahavishnu, Narad Muni, they all staying together in this one compound for years together. Yeah? What a holy place. So walking down that road reminds us that this is the place where all these living, these great souls have been there. They are the dust of their feet, the air they breathe, the marks of their footprints, and their consciousness all resides there in that holy place. We were blessed in 1997 in a beautiful yatra where His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj gave us several hours of talk. In the late evening we began, maybe around 6 or so, till about 11 in the night, hearing all the pastimes which took place at Srivas Angam. Mahaprabhu was born at Jogapit. The Sankirtan movement itself, which is the benediction for mankind, was born at Srivas Angam. So we shall spend a few minutes, what we have at hand, to reminisce the glorious leelas which took place in this small compound, which filled with so many good, wonderful lessons, so many beautiful revelations, and open our hearts and minds to absorb the essence of these leelas and enrich our consciousness with love and faith in the most merciful Gauranitai. Bhajo bhajo bhai Chaitanya Nitai Sudrida Vishwasa Kori. We may have some faith in Krishna as being the Supreme Lord, but sometimes devotees have difficulties with their faith in Gauru and Nitai because they are Channa avatars. But by hearing about glories of Mahaprabhu today, we can endorse our hearts with this firm faith that if there is a deliverer in Kali Yuga, it is not Krishna. It is Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And if we have to be saved, if we want salvation at all from Janma Mrutyu Jara Vyadhi, it will be the feet of Gaur and Nitai and no one else. We saw in this beautiful drama by my brother Advaita Acharya about the condition of Navadvipa at the time. And it was truly like that, because you can imagine thousands of people are staying in Navadvip, the most opulent city probably in the Indian subcontinent. Very wealthy, rich, aristocratic people, highly cultured, immense knowledge, huge houses, lot of opulence. Brahma's best created city was Navadvip. And Saraswati's most cherished followers were living in Navadvip. So it was obviously very opulent. But then there was something conspicuous by its absence. Very conspicuous. And what was that? There was no mention, there was no talk of the word devotion to Sri Hari. There was talk of Hari, there was Bhagavatam reciters, but they did not talk of devotional service to Sri Hari. So devotees, obviously, they conglomerated together, they stuck together in a small house to be safe. They performed, they were very secretive sometimes and sometimes very loud, kirtans. And they were so absorbed, the kirtans of Srivas Angan are something which we have to think about, its glory, what they must have been like. They were nothing like what we see around here. Nothing like what we see around, something very different. Something very different. The Lord would exhibit such variegated moods of devotion. You know, such ecstatic moods, which are so variable, so fantastic. And every few minutes he was in a different mood. Sometimes in the mood of Uddhava, sometimes mood of Akrura. Sometimes it would be like a child, Krishna, crawling on the ground. Sometimes it would be like a gopi, crying incessantly in separation from Sri Krishna. And the way he would dance, like no one can dance. He would dance in such forms which would attract the hearts of all the demigods would come to see. You'd go into ecstatic forms whereby sometimes for 3-4 hours you just stand in one place like a pillar playing his flute. Or go into a roll like a ball with his head touching his feet and keep in that position for 3 hours. Or his body would stretch into elongated forms which would make devotees very scared. And the way he would cry. We can cry when we are in sorrow, but you cannot even remove 100 ml of water from your eyes practically. But the Lord would create puddles of water. It would be like the Ganga is flowing from his eyes, and his skin would erupt with spurts of Ganges water and sweat immensely. Supernatural activities. At times you would jump in the sky and just fall and make the whole earth shake. He is higher than the heaviest, but he became lighter than the lightest. He would just become so light that devotees would hold him like a swab of cotton and pass him around and take the dust off his feet. That's how light he would become. So in this way, the Kirtans are very, very beautiful. And much to the annoyance of the people around. Because then they had to sleep in the night. And the devotees become so oblivious of everything happening here that there would be loud Kirtans. And they would come, as you saw here, with very offensive attitudes. And they would bang at the door. One thing they always want to do is that all the windows were shut, and the doors were shut. And people would bang. Sometimes there would be thousands of people outside banging on your door. But nobody inside the house heard them. Why? Because they were in the spiritual world. They were absolutely disconnected from any material stimulation of the sensory perception. Completely cut off. And then people would blaspheme, they would talk ill things, and very horrible type of attitudes was there. You would want to destroy Srivastava Thakur's house, and they wanted to call the king, because the king was very powerful, and they were non-Hindu people, so they were really antagonistic, and they thrived on killing Muslims and torturing them. So in this great fear, Srivastava Thakur was one day worshipping Narsingadev, because Narsingadev is our special Lord, whom we invoke his blessings when we are in fear. Right? That is the Lord's potency for fear protection. And then the Lord really, he was outside on the Ganges and said, I am he. And he got in that mood of Narsingadev. And he rushed to the house of Srivastava Thakur. He said, I am he. I am the Lord you worship. Srivas, offer me prayers. And the Lord was in the mood of Narsingadev. Powerful. And said, the same Krishna you worship, I am that Narsingadev. And he said, the king, because there are a lot of rumor of the king coming. He said, if the king comes, wants to come here, let him come. But he cannot come here unless I give him the power to come here. I'll go to the king. And I'll tell their mullahs and all their padris and all their qazis to come. And said, call all your animals, your birds, your beasts, everybody else. And recite from your scriptures and make them chant and dance in love of God. And there will be a big failure. Then I will make them chant. And they'll become mad in ecstasy. The king will roll in ecstasy himself. And Srivas, if you don't believe this, I will show you a proof. A small girl was there, the niece of Srivas Thakur, Narayani. He said, Narayani, sing and dance and cry in ecstasy of love of God. And a small little girl, 4 years, just erupted. Mystical syringes of tears are pouring out of her eyes. And she started shaking. So I said, Krishna, 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 Krishna. She went to complete a fit of ecstasy. This young child, Narayani, was so blessed to be in that group of esoteric devotees. And Mahaprabhu loved her because she was Thakur's niece. The Lord would take Mahaprasad from his own mouth and put it in her mouth. We feed the Lord. The Lord is feeding his devotee. And from that womb which digested that food, came out the great soul, Vrindavan Das Thakur, who gave us the Chaitanya Bhagavat. The kirtans would be so attractive, people wanted to come in. It was like, it was called in modern language, the happening place. Everyone wanted to come in because they knew something very wonderful is happening there. Of course, the blasphemers, because they couldn't go there, they said, oh, there are a lot of girls there and they're doing also, you know, various sensual things happening there. They would really do all have some crazy ideas about the whole thing because they couldn't go in. But there was a Brahmin who was a milk-drinking Brahmin. That's what he's famous as. His name is not given, but he's called as a milk-drinking Brahmin. For his whole life, this ascetic person had never tasted any food. Milk is a complete food, Ayurvedically. This is true. And all the proteins and carbohydrates and everything is there. So he would just survive on taking milk every day. He said, he begged Srivastava, please let me in. I want to see the dance of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. He was so genuinely asking and begging. Srivastava would halt. He said, okay, you can come in. So you get a special pass for entering. If the house owner himself says you get a special pass, you can come in. But he was hiding. The Mahaprabhu began his chanting and his dancing. Please remember, this dancing would be not going to hours. At one point of time, Mahaprabhu said, why do we waste our time, daytime, just working and all these things? Why don't we just chant every day and every night? And it was completely greeted by the devotees as welcome association. Wow! No work, nothing. 24 hours only kirtan. So for one full year, please remember, this is not ordinary thing. One full year, they just had kirtan. Now we have kirtan for 15-20 minutes and say, kabhi band hoga, right? I don't go for the next program. 1 hour, 1 year. And it is not 1 year. Just at the Lord, in the Rasalila pastime at Bamshi Bhatt and other places, would expand at that one night, in the night of Brahma. Krishna is the control of time. He can, as Maharaj says, he can go straight, he can front, back, left, right. He can make that. He can twist time the way he wants because he is time himself. So he can twist time. He can manipulate time the way he wants. So similarly, Srivas Angan, what looked like a one-year kirtan actually was a one-yuga kirtan. Because one night was like, one year was too small. The time just passed so fast. Anyway, so this man came in and he was hiding. And Mahaprabhu began his beautiful Navagauravaram. We say, he's a king among dancers. Gaur Nataraj. Gaur Nataraj. The highest, most beautiful. It's not Kathak or this, not all that. It is a unique dance which we will only see when we go to the spiritual world. Gaur Nataraj, the way he dances. And he began his dance and he just abruptly stopped. He said, anybody in the house who's not supposed to be here? Srivastava Thakur immediately apologizes. Mahaprabhu, there are no sinners here. So he was right. There's no sinners here. Said, but is there anybody who's not supposed to be in this house? So there's a Brahmin who's is very austere, is very pure. And he just drinks milk. And he wanted to see your dance. And the way the Lord exploded, get that milk drinking Brahmin out from here right now at once. He exploded in a fit of anger. And whoever said that you can see my dance just by drinking milk? He was very angry. Why was the Lord so angry? The Lord is supposed to be transcendental to anger and all those things. Because he was putting forward a powerful principle. Bhaktya mam abhijanati. That is the word of the Gita which he has spoken. That you can only understand and see Krishna by devotion. And there is no charity, there is no yajna, there is no vrata, there is no austerity, there is no tapasya which makes you eligible to see Krishna just by itself. Unless you have devotion to Krishna, you cannot understand Krishna. So this person was disqualified. That place was only for the purest of all pure devotees to be inside. So the devotee humbly just came out because he knew that he has made the Lord terribly angry now. So he didn't want to hang around too much over there. Just sheepishly walked out of the place. And as he was going back, he said, actually, I'm not qualified to be there. That's true. I was just allowed. It's a mercy case. But even for the few minutes I saw the Lord, oh, it was so wonderful. So in his heart, he was apologetic for being there. And he was appreciative that he could see something at least. As soon as the Lord in the heart understood this mood and sentiment of this Brahmin, he says, Srivas, go and call him back again. Right? He was not proud of his austerity. So the principle again here is that humility attracts the Lord's heart. It is not the milk which made him bring him back. It was the humility of his heart which again requalified him to be part of the kirtan. Very powerful principle. The Lord would go into various moods, and at one time, by and large, the Lord would actually, in Mahaprabhu's Leela, when we see, when we read Mahaprabhu's Leela in Kaviraj Goswami, he would go into various phases of consciousness. Like we go through our modes, right? We go to Sataguna, to a small extent, Lajidu, Rajaguna and Tamaguna. We all, you know, we keep shuttling between these three modes. So he would also keep shuttling between his, not his modes, but his states of pure consciousness. When he was in external consciousness, he would be like a servant. As we know, this Lord, the Lord here has not come as God. He has come as a servant of the Lord. So he would be like a, more like a servant, like a devotee, like a humble, genuine Vaishnava, trying to serve, trying to chant, trying to worship. He would be like a regular devotee. There would be like a deep state of internal absorption. He would be fully in a state of internal absorption in his internal bhav. As you say, Radha bhav dutim sualitam nami Krishna swarupam. Right? So that bhav was his internal state. And sometimes it would be between the two. It would be difficult to differentiate whether it is in or out. So it would go between these, vacillate between these three phases of consciousness. So, it is explained that this one particular day, something very special happened. The Lord went and sat on the altar of Srivas Thakur. He lifted the Shaligram Shilas and he put it on his lap. And he called out to everybody who was there. Now please remember, there are many hundreds of devotees who are there. Many hundreds of devotees. It is a small house, but remember it is a spiritual place. So it is not going to go by 10 by 10 or 12 by 12. It is not like that. There will be many, many devotees fit into that place, which looks like a real small place in terms of geographical dimension. There are many, many devotees inside. So the Lord was in a mood this time, very rare. As I said, the Lord would practically almost never go into his mood of being Krishna, because that was his, like his channa part, that was his covered part. But in this particular time, for the first time and probably the last time in his life, except when he had some special leelas where he would become Krishna, like to Ramananda Rai, like that. But otherwise, when you have revelations, that was different. But on a prolonged time, for the first time, he went into this absorption of him being the supreme, all-powerful, all-glorious, complete splendor and opulence personality of Godhead. So you have to remember that even when you see ordinary kings and their royalty, they're very impressive. When they're big kings, the way they conduct themselves. This is the king of all kings. So this time the Lord has gone into his actual mood of being the king of all kings. The God of all gods, the most powerful personality. He was in that mood of his Aishwarya Bhav as God, Supreme God. And yet, very, very loving towards his devotees. He wasn't like a tyrant, very loving. And what was the purpose of this Leela? The purpose was to simply reciprocate love with his devotees. The Lord is, one of the Lords, the Lord has various names. Govinda, Krishna, Madhava, Manohar, so many names. But one of the most difficult and most beautiful names is, one of the beautiful qualities is that he is Bhakta Vatsal Bhagavan. He just loves his devotees, and all the Mahabharata and all the Ramayana is filled with stories of what the Lord would do for his devotees. He would do anything for his devotees. So he went and sat there, that altar started cracking, because the altar was not designed for the heaviest of all persons to sit there. Nithanbu just went and touched it. Ananda Shesha, and he stabilized it. So it became stable. Mystic power. He went and sat there and said, Srivas, perform my Abhishek. Advaita, sing my Abhishek song. Right? And the devotees were so happy that they are seeing the Lord in a completely different mood. They never seen this mood before, ever, even once. So they erupted into a state of activity. And immediately brought a lot of water from the Ganges. Generally, we perform Abhishek with about 108 pots of. We will do that in the evening today, 6 o'clock. 108 pots. But this time, there were thousands of pots of pure Ganga water Abhishek of the Lord. And every devotee was involved. There was a big line from Ganga back to to this, as we know, Janavi Tata Vane. This is Janavi Tata. So we are very close to the Ganga. So there's a big line of devotees just offering pot after pot after pot of Ganga water. And Mahaprabhu's devotees were very expert at mantra chanting. They're highly learned people. So they were offering Purushukta prayers and various prayers. So the whole atmosphere, you can imagine, the Lord is sitting there. Abhishek is performed by the senior devotees. Purushukta prayers are being chanted. Someone is dancing. Someone is crying. Someone is rolling in the dust. People are so absorbed in this entire episode of seeing this. And mind you, the Lord is more beautiful than billions of cupids. And that most beautiful entity is sitting there and with his glance flooding their hearts with his own heart's love. So they performed this beautiful abhishek for several hours. And the Lord saw a young girl. Said, Srivas, what is her name? Said, my dear Lord, her name is Dukhi. He said, this name does not sit very too well in my heart. Today I give her the name Sukhi. And hereby I give her pure, unalloyed devotional service to my lotus feet. At the moment he just said that, this young girl just again went into a fit of ecstasy and chanted, Krishna, 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 Krishna. Like that. She was fully transformed into a God-intoxicated girl. What was her qualification to get this? Very important lesson from a very small leela. This girl was not offering abhishek herself. She was nowhere even in that arena of that circle. She was in the neighboring room just collecting all the pots which were being brought by the Vaishnavas, arranging them in a particular line so it was easier for them to fetch and go back and forth. She was only assisting the Vaishnavas in doing abhishek. And this was her qualification. So even though the Lord was seeing the devotees who were very close to him physically, his eyes were transformed to a person who was rather far. The Lord sees first those devotees who are behind. Not the frontline devotees. He sees those who are in the mood of servant, of the servant of the servant. They are the ones who get the eyesight of the Lord, the glance first. That should be our mood. We would not look to be in the front, seen as doing things, but remain behind and yet serve the instructions of our spiritual master. And as Sarasvati Thakur said, don't try to see Krishna, but try to serve. This is the principle debated in the story of Dukhi, who became the supreme Sukhi. As this thing is going on, the Lord starts saying, I am hungry, bring me food. The Lord is now in a mood of being the enjoyer. The born of it. There's only one enjoyer. Ekala Ishwara Arasaba. So only one person can enjoy bona fidely. We can also enjoy unbona fidely. It's not our nature, it's against our nature. But it is actually his constitutional nature to enjoy the gifts of his devotees. So he said, bring me food. So they brought so much of milk and yogurt and sweets and bananas and sugar candy and sandesh. There were basketfuls of all this. Obviously, it's not there in Srivastava Thakur's house. He was a non-working grihastha. But from the neighboring houses, as soon as the devotees got to know that something here is happening, they went to all different villages. They started purchasing a lot of saman, right? And bringing it with great hurry, offered to the Lord. And the Lord was eating. In few seconds, he had what 300 people can eat. Just eating. This is the Lord's Govardhan Leela. Anior. With two hands, he's just devouring all the... He loves to eat the offerings of his devotees. This is Krishna's quality. He will not take from Duryodhanaka, Bhoga, Nakhayo, Lukho, Shaka, Aise Prema Pujari, Radhe, Shama, Shama, Shama. Right? Vidur was offering, not Vidur, Vidurani, was offering just, she was like, so mesmerized, the Lord has come to her house. So the banana was in her hand and she was doing something with the banana. And then the banana fell off and the peel was in her hand. And said, Krishna. And Krishna was eating the peel. Looking at Vidurani's love within her heart. Right? So in this way, he is not impressed by food. Like we would be impressed when you see a big banquet. Wow, nice prasad. This is because we are all on the Maya platform of existence. That attracts us. But Krishna is attracted by devotion. So he was so happy to have the offerings of his devotees again and again. And said, my dear Lord, there's nothing more now for you. So he said, there are only some betel nuts now. He said, get them all. So the devotees brought handfuls of betel nuts and just giving it to him. And he was eating that like a big king, enjoying. Huh? Real mood of enjoyment. And devotees who are all around him, now the Lord is doing something special. He is now going to reveal to the devotees his relationship with him on the Nitya Siddha platform. A very esoteric thing. They do not know this. They think they are devotees and they think he is the Lord. But they have a relation with him for eternity. Said, Nara! Called out Adita Acharya. Said, do you remember that you would give your classes and lectures from the Bhagavad Gita? And every scripture you spoke about, you would only speak when you are convinced that this scripture, this particular verse, this particular shloka is in line with the principle of pure unalloyed devotion. When that is not being spoken, you will not speak. And you will fast till you understand that the depth of this shloka and how it relates to Shuddha Bhakti. And so many times you would fast in the night and not eat and sleep. And I would come into your dream and teach you the meaning of that particular verse. And the Lord then started recounting several times those specific verses which Adita Acharya had not been able to explain. And he told them the meanings that was revealed in front of all the devotees. The devotees were like amazed. Wow. And please remember, this is before the Lord appeared in this world. But one particular verse I had not revealed to you, and that meaning I will reveal to you today. The particular verse is there where it says that how the Lord has hundreds of mouths and hundreds of hands and hundreds of legs, and that he is manifest everywhere. That particular shloka is in the Gita, I think it's 11th chapter. Sarvapani, that particular shloka is there. I said, this is the way, and then he explained the meaning of that, how the super soul is manifested in this particular way. And as soon as he said that, Adhacharya went into complete ecstasy. He was so happy to know that it is the Lord himself who has actually come to me in my dreams and done this to me. And he fell unconscious. He fell completely unconscious. So we can imagine there's a great amount of, right now there is a huge amount of reciprocation taking place, intense reciprocation of some of the events which the devotees had not known why they happened in their lives, but how the Lord was intertwined in their life in such a special way. He said, Gangadas, you remember? Gangadas is the Lord's teacher. The Muslim soul is attacked. That was the Muslim Raj at that time. We were under Muslim rules. And Akbar was there in Delhi. And they attacked Navadvip. And Gangadas was running with his family. And it was dead of night. And he ran because, you know, these Muslim soldiers would come. They would plunder his house. They would kill him. They would defile his family and do all the atrocious things. So he was running helplessly. And the only way he could do is to just go off to the Ganga and then cross the Ganga, and because they could not cross the Ganga because it was massive storm going on. When he came there in the middle of night with hailstorm, there was no boat over there. You can imagine that desperation of Gangadas, being chased by Muslim soldiers, and he's all alone there in dead of night, no lights, no ferryman, no boat, nothing, with his family completely unprotected. And he was desperately crying to Krishna to save his life and to save his family. Suddenly from nowhere, the Lord said, I came down from Vaikuntha, mounted on a boat, and I crossed the Ganga, and I came as a ferryman. And as soon as he saw me, he said, oh ferryman, come. Take my family, take my wealth, take whatever you want, but fetch me across the Ganga. And I personally fetched you across the Ganga. Par karenge naiya re bhaja Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Krishna Kanaya as Gauranga Mahaprabhu. He will take us around. We just have this faith that he is always there with us in good times and more so in bad times. We only turn to him with faith, as his leelas indicate. He will never, it is his promise. It is his open promise. Kaunte pradijanehi name bhakta. That is his promise for all times to come. And Krishna never breaks his promise. If we can only turn to him, and we all will go through difficult times in our life, probably we are going through them right now also, but we turn to him in helplessness, there will always be a solution which we cannot even imagine. There will be a great solution will be there. In unseen, the unseen hand of Krishna will work in our lives. And Yashoda Gangadas came to know that it was Krishna who, can you imagine this happening to in our life, that the person who came as a boatman was my Lord. He was Krishna. And he came to me personally. Not through his energies. Yeah, the energies are there, but they are there for governing the material world. But when it comes to Krishna's devotees having trouble, Krishna comes himself, the Vaikunthanath comes himself to save one single devotee. One elephant is crying in Trikuta mountain, and the Lord from Vaikuntha comes to save that one insignificant elephant because he offered him one lotus flower with devotion. This is Krishna. He is supreme. Prabhupada said, personality. He is a supreme person. And he is so personal with his devotees because he is a supreme person. Therefore, he is a supreme, very, very personal. You can imagine Gangadas Pandit's heart, and he was so much overwhelmed with love. He said, oh my Lord, how can I even repay you this, what you have done for me? And he told some devotee, you remember when you had fever? I gave as a physician to take down your fever. He's telling all the wonderful things to the devotees. And he called out, Haridas, your body is more auspicious than my body. Your birth is higher than my birth. And I said, talking about Haridas Thakur's life. So do you remember at Fuliagram when those tyrant, monstrous, savage butchers practically, they were trying to kill you with whips and chains and lathis, spitting on you, speaking all wild words to you and dragging you through the marketplaces. Immediately I released my chakra from Vaikuntha. And chakra came, I was about to sever the heads of these rascals. But in your heart, you are only their well-wisher. You are only thinking good about them. You had no ill feelings towards people who are trying to murder you. And that compassionate heart of yours made my chakra completely diffused off. It became powerless to kill. But I could not resist that the devotees are hitting you so bad. These rascals will keep hitting you so bad. Therefore, I personally covered my body over your body. If you do not believe this, I will show you. The Lord turned and opened his chadar. And there were the marks, those heavy scars of the beatings of those rascals on the golden form of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And Thakur Haridas was crying profusely crying. He said, what, you did this for me? This wretch like me, this rascal outcast, I'm not even a part of the Varnashram system. I'm so low. Born in a Muslim family, a meat-eating family. You did this just for me. The Lord took the beatings of these rascals on his own soft, tender, beautiful, pure body. For whom? For his dear devotee. So ask for a boon. Ask for any boon you want. I'm just seeing you. I'm just happy to so see you. I have no desire. I am so happy with you, Haridas. You are so pure that even Ganga wants to touch you. Anybody who utters your name becomes dear to me. He said, I am so sinful. If people see me, they become sinful. If they touch me, they will take bath in the Ganga. Said, no, we are worshipped by Brahma and Shiva. Ask for a boon, Haridas. I am so pleased with you. This is Varadraj Krishna, the Lord, the King of all kings, giving his vara, his boons to his devotees. Ask for benediction. If you so desire, I have one desire. What is your desire? I will do anything for you. The Lord had been assisted by Haridas Thakur in such a wonderful way. What Haridas Thakur had not done for the Lord. He had converted thousands upon millions of people, conditioned souls, to the path of Shuddha Bhakti, giving them the immortal gift of Harinam. How much the Lord is pleased. As we know, Gita and Krishna has said this, that I will never be more pleased in the past, present or future than with the person who actually preaches my glories to other people. So in this regard, who can parallel the achievements of Thakur Haridas? How much he must be dear to him? As we heard from Maharaj in the morning, that he was given the privilege of holding Mahaprabhu's feet on his chest at the last moments of his life and chanting Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. That was the privilege which he gave nobody else. He gave to Haridas Thakur. So I have one desire, my dear Lord. In every birth I may take, give me the privilege to eat the remnants of food left by your devotees. Let me be born as a dog in the house of a Vaishnav. So when he finishes his food, he'll throw some crumbs of food of leftovers for me to eat. That is my desire. What a boon to ask. It can never fit into our mortal brains. Is this a boon to ask? Eat the jutta of somebody else? Is this the highest achievement of life? But this is the unparalleled heart of a pure devotee of the Lord. And what he values in his life is Vaishnava Sangha. And he shows his value of Vaishnava Sangha by eating the remnants of their food. That's how he values the food they have eaten. That's how they worship the Vaishnavas. Eating of remnants of the devotee is a modality of worshipping. It's the puja of a Vaishnava. I always think that I am a very important person. I always say that I am a very exalted person. And this is not fitting properly into my consciousness. Please see that this state of consciousness is eliminated. And in every life that I may take, I should be able to remember you, my dear Lord. Because what is the power of remembrance to you? Prahlad was being attacked so much by these demoniac followers of Hiranyakashipu, with spears, with lances, with poisonous cobras and mad intoxicated elephants. In every state he was put to a near that experience, he was simply remembering you. And through remembrance, he was saved. The Pandavas were sitting in the forest of Kamyavan alone. And that time, Durvasa came with 60,000 of his disciples who were all hungry, meant to be fed. Hungry people like that are very difficult to feed. You go to, in our house, you just call five people who are, uninformed. You know how difficult it becomes for you. Your fridge is having just two bananas and two, half a kilo of laddu, some potatoes or something. How do you feed five people? 60,000 people! And Yudhishthira Maharaj remembered Krishna. Utter helplessness. Because he wanted to feed. He was not scared of the curse of Durvasa. That's not his fear. He was sure that he would not be able to do his duty of feeding the atithis who were coming to his house. That was his fear. And Krishna came. And Draupadi had already eaten her food. So the patra was now ordinary, just a pot of ordinary pot. A small grain of vegetable was there. One small grain. And they started burping loudly. They had eaten full stomachs and they all ran away. This is the power of remembering Krishna. But I am so fallen, Thakur Haridasa, that I cannot remember you. Please bless me that I can remember you. Thakur Haridasa is praying he can't remember Krishna. He is sending 192 rounds of Krishna. If he cannot remember Krishna in 192 rounds, how much are we remembering in our 16 rounds? Ridiculous. In this way, I was glorifying the power of remembering Krishna. Ajamil was so sinful, he said. There's nobody more sinful than him in those days. But in the end, he just remembered not you, he remembered your name, in the form of his son's name. And that remembrance saved him. And Nishnudas came and took him back to Godhead. This is the power of somebody who remembers you. This is the goal of our life, dear friends. Satatam smartave Vishnu, vismartave na jatuchit. Every vidhi, every nisheda, every activity we do, whether it's Ekadashi or this vrata or whatever else we do, the only singular purpose of our life through all these rituals, all our temple programs, all our yatras, all our readings of scripture, all our services to the deities, there's only one singular purpose, is to always remember Krishna with love and to never forget Krishna. And today is that day, Gaur Purnima day, when we can really deeply remember Krishna. We remember Krishna in a very casual way, you know, most of the time. But today we can pray, we can remember Krishna with great depth, with great feeling. With the folded hands in front of Radha Gopinath and Gaur Nithai, we can pray with deep feeling, begging for the Lord's glance to fall upon us, as it was glancing on all the devotees at the time. So go and call Sridhar. Sridhar. There's nobody called Sridhar over here. Nobody knew him. So go out of the town and go and stand there at the crossing of the roads. Whenever you hear my name being chanted, go to that house. That is Sridhar. That was his address. There's no Chauraha, there's no crossroads, there's no... That was his address. His address was, you stand in a particular place, and when you hear in the night somebody calling out Krishna's name, that means that must be Sridhar. That is how the Lord recognized him. So Lord's already had passed. It was the night now. Devotees ran out, and they suddenly heard Krishna's name being chanted from some place. He said, Sridhar! They didn't know his name. He said, the Lord is calling you. The Lord is calling me? And just think that the Lord is calling me, he became unconscious there. So we had to lift him. They lifted him and brought here. He was popular only as Kolavecha. Banana Beshnewala. That was his only identity. He was so very inconspicuous. He was a non-existent person in that village. Nobody even knew his name. Generally in a village, people know he is so and so in a village. Nowadays, you don't know your neighbor's house, you know, what is the son's name. You don't even know your neighbor's son's daughter's name. We don't know. But in a village, usually they would know, everybody knows everything about everybody. Right? They didn't know he was so very inconspicuous person. And yet, he was so conspicuous to the Lord. That even through his leela as a great pandit, when he was conquering, defeating big scholars, he would secretly go to this one person, unknown to anybody else, and be with him for 2 hours, bargaining over the price of the banana leaves, cups, and bananas. 2 hours of sadhana of Mahaprabhu, like we spent chanting Hare Krishna 2 hours, his sadhana was to go and talk, argue, joke, and just have loving exchanges with this one small thelawala on the side of the road, sitting with a small spread out of banana cups, banana leaves, banana fruits, banana trunk. That's all. He's a businessman. He's supposed to be a businessman. This is his business. And Sridhar was brought in. Sridhar, look at me. Behold my opulences, Sridhar. He opened his eyes. What did Sridhar see? Beautiful. He saw Mahaprabhu had transformed into a beautiful threefold bending form, the tamal tree shade of Krishna playing his flute. Next to him was Balaramji Maharaj. Dauji was standing next to him. And then he saw Narad Muni, Shukdev Goswami, he saw Brahma, he saw Shiva, he saw Ananda Shesha covering the hoods of the Lord. And saw so many gods and goddesses, demigods offering prayers to him. Said, Behold my opulence. Sridhar, offer me prayers. Offer me prayers. he was a totally illiterate person. He could not say anything. He was just, my dear Lord, what can I say? How can I glorify you? Saraswati, Mother Saraswati, detecting the devotion of Sridhar, which had to be now articulated in a particular form, entered his tongue and fulfilled the Lord's desire. And the Lord started speaking through Sridhar. Eloquent prayers started flowing out like Mother Ganga. Those prayers are given in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. Beautiful prayers. The Lord was completely satisfied. Please remember, the Lord loves to hear loving prayers of his devotees. Anything that the devotees give him, he loves. Whether a tulsi leaf, or a prayer, or a banana, or even an arrow shot with anger like Bhishma Dev. Anything from the devotees is welcome for the Lord. That's how he loves his devotees. There cannot be a better lover Then the Lord we worship, Sri Radha and Gopinath. Sridhar, I want to give you some boon. Ask for a boon. Well, you satisfy the prayer, so you have to give something in return now. You take something, the Lord has to always reciprocate. Ask for a boon. He said, my dear Lord, I am just seeing you and beholding your opulences. Because for him it was a big revelation. He did not know that this small Nimai, this boy of 16 years old who was coming to his dukan to just bar, he did not know that this is the supreme personality of Godhead. He was completely unaware of this, and when he saw this, he was zapped. He says, seeing you, my dear Lord, all my desires are fulfilled. What can I ask? Sridhar, right now I give you the 8 mystic perfections. They are yours. They are in your grip. What will I do with them? They're simply a disturbance, my dear Lord. I'll make you a king. I'll give you land. I'll give you a planet. I'll make you Indra. My dear Lord, I do not know all these things. He was in a mood of rejection. He's rejecting all the boons of the Lord. I will take you to Vaikuntha right now. He said, no, I don't want to go back to Vaikuntha also. This is the best you could give, right? This is the best the Lord could give. I'll take you to my abode. Now imagine if you were to tell us, yes, 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 sir. That seems like a good one. I've been waiting for this, for a long time. I've been, anadi karma phale, pari bhavana varjale. I've been in this world for a long, long time. I think I performed enough 16 rounds and followed 4 principles. And I've served you a little bit here and there, college preaching, something here and then, book distribution. I've done a little bit here and there, if you can take me. He was saying, no, I don't want to come with you. And this made the Lord very desperate. What do you want, Sridhar? Ask something of me. He said, I don't want anything. Please ask. The Lord was becoming very, very despondent that he is not able to give something to his dear devotee. He said, ask something. If you want me to ask, this is my desire. Please come like you did before, every day for those 2 hours, and argue over the price of bananas. This is the Lord, this is the devotee's desire. How selfless, how pure, how non-possessive are Krishna's devotees. How they completely reject all wealth of the material world and something of the spiritual world has been completely unimportant. They don't want the Lord's creation. They want the Lord himself. They want the Lord. They don't want the gifts of the Lord. They want the Lord. We want Krishna. We don't want the gifts of Krishna in form of this. That's why we chant regularly. We were at Kumbh Mela last year and said, Radhanath Maharaj, we said, Maharaj, what should we pray? We are really about to go and it's Kumbh Mela. Your hearts are like, I want to go and bathe in that particular, Murat. So, Maharaj, what should we pray? This is the same prayer which we have heard many times. Nothing new. This is the only singular, most important prayer of a devotee is this. What is that?
Na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim, kavitam va jagadishakamaye, mama janmani janmaneshvare, bhavatat bhakti rahe tukitvai.
There is no higher prayer of a practicing devotee than this. In one particular lecture, Maharaj, this is a plaque in one devotee's house in Delhi, one of my god brothers. He said, this verse is called the North Pole Star verse. Just like when there was no compasses, there was no radars, they would look only at the North Pole Star and they would know that this is the right direction our ship has to go. So this particular verse is a North Pole Star verse. If our hearts through our sadhana bhakti is bringing us more and more closer towards this aspiration that we do not want wealth of this world, we do want the association of the opposite sex, that we do not want the fame and glory of this world. If this is what our heart is actually growing into, then our bhakti is maturing in the right direction. But if the other thing is happening if those desires are getting overwhelmed and growing stronger, then we are probably short of something happening in our lives. Maybe you're offending Vaishnavas or something which is lacking. But this is the North Pole Star verse which should guide our life through all our sadhana bhakti. That we do not want anything of this world. We want bhavatad bhaktir ahetuki thvai. We want unalloyed devotion to Krishna. In this way, the great exchange of love between Sridhar and Krishna and Mahaprabhu was taking place. And the Lord called Murari. He said, Murari, come, behold my opulences. And Murari came. He came forward. And the Lord transformed. Please remember, in the small house, all these diverse, various, dynamic forms of the Lord are being manifested. That place is so pure. You can imagine, Ayodhya came there, Vaikuntha came there. In the small house, that small altar, the Lord was showing such fantastic things that which he never showed before. And then where I saw the Lord, he was transformed at the color of the Durva grass. And he was sitting in Virasan, the bow in his hand, as Lord Ramachandra. And Nityananda Prabhu had transformed into Lakshmanji. And on his left side was Mother Sita. He said, behold, Murarigu. And the same Lord. He said, reminding him of the past. He said, and you, my dear devotee, you are Hanuman. And he saw, looked at himself and he saw that he had small tail. He said, Murari. He said, glorifying, he said, remember, see this. This is Lakshman. You fetched from the Ganda Mother mountain this special herb to revive Lakshman. And this is Mother Sita. When you saw her in the Ashoka grove, captured under the garden of Ashoka of Ravan, and looking at her plight, her misery, and a forlorn nature, you cried a shoreless ocean of tears. Murari, offer me prayers. Murari Gupta started offering beautiful prayers to the Lord. Said, yes, now ask for benediction. This benediction of Murari Gupta, who stands here in front of us today also as Hanuman, is so very important to remember. Each of these devotees, the boons they have asked are the guidelines of our life. They are not just leelas which you just remember or memorize or narrate or hear. They are the sutras which should guide our life. Just like we have guidelines in various things, guidelines, various systems, guidelines to do a particular project, guidelines to treat a particular patient, guidelines to manage hospitals and institutes. There are various guidelines. In every institute there are guidelines. Right? So we also have guidelines in our life. The guideline which is given by Murari Gupta is so special. So my dear Lord, give me the association of those devotees who always think that you are their eternal Lord and that they are your eternal servants. Give me the association of such Vaishnavas. Thakur Bhaktivinoda also sings the same thing in his bhajans. Bhukti mukti spriha vina je bhakta labayate thako sangha anurakta. Those devotees, of course we want to associate every devotee and respect every devotee, but especially we want to befriend those devotees we have this wonderful quality who are free from desire for bhukti and mukti. Who do not want liberation, do not want to have any sense gratification. When we have such devotees, they are so special. They are the wealth of our lives. This was the benediction asked by Murari Gupta. And this was going on in so many wonderful ways, and then the Lord was giving benediction to other people also, and suddenly he said, anybody else is there, you would all come, okay. So then one child came and said, my dear Lord, my parents don't like me to come here for this satsang program. So make them devotees. They are devotees now. And one guru came and said, please bless my disciples with pure love of Krishna. He said, your disciples are having pure love of Krishna. And this way, various devotees came with so many desires, and the Lord was giving freely. He's opened his heart, opened his chest box of his treasure. Anyone, anything they wanted, everything was given. But all this was going on, there was still one thing which was missing. The Lord had still not called Mukunda. And Srivast Thakur, being like the person who was sort of coordinating the entire house events, he said, "My dear Lord, the chanting and singing of Mukunda brings tears to our eyes and melts our heart with love of God. Why is it that you do not call Mukunda? He is so dear to you and he is so dear to all of us. Please call for Mukunda. He will not come in front of you till you just call for him." "I do not want to hear the name of the word of this Mukunda. He is a rascal Mukunda." A totally unexpected response from Mahaprabhu. How can he be a rascal Mukunda? "My dear Lord, if he has done some offense, then you can punish him, you can chastise him, but please don't neglect him like this. Mukunda is hiding behind the curtain, waiting for you to call him." This Mukunda is a nonsense Mukunda. When he comes with the devotees, he has straw of grass between his teeth, comes in very great humility, and sings nice songs, and sings kirtan with the Vaishnavas. And then he associates with the non-devotees, with the Mayavadis, and he ascribes to the non-devotional philosophies. It is like he is coming with a grass in his mouth and a mace in his hand, and he is beating me. Devotees could not understand this. The Lord, my Lord, Mukunda is beating you with the iron mace. They could not understand what he is saying. Before, many years before, as a young boy, the guru of Mukunda was a Mayavadi teacher. And he was in a mood of submission, hearing and learning the philosophy from the Mayavadi teacher. And that's when he had associated with Mayavadi. The Lord had picked up that past memory and brought it to notice. To make the strong point how dangerous it is to associate with the Mayavadis. But the Mayavadi philosophy teaches, wrongly teaches in fact, not teaches but wrongly teaches, that the Lord is Maya. The Lord's Leela is Maya. His form is Maya. His pastimes are Maya. His abode is Maya. His holy name is Maya. So by denying the Lord, it's like the Lord feels when that is being spoken or heard that they are beating him with the iron mace. That's how resentful this Sankara philosophy is, which happens to be the most popular philosophy in the world, including India. Do not, the jiva is becoming God. That's how dangerous it is. And how painful it is for the Lord that somebody practices that philosophy. So then the Lord Mukunda was behind there and said, "The Lord rejected me. Will I ever be able to see the Lord? And then, is there anything in the future? Can I hope that something will happen in the future? Tell him that he will see me in 10 million births." As soon as the Lord uttered 10 million births, Mukunda became completely ecstatic. He started jumping and rolling. He said, I will see the Lord in 10 million births. He started crying in ecstasy. He started twirling and dancing around. He became mad. "I will see the Lord in 10 million births. As soon as the Lord heard this from Mukunda's mouth, he said, "Bring Mukunda right now." And the devotee was so happy. Now here is a very special principle to remember and understand. Srivas Thakur and his dear devotees who are there were more happy seeing the other devotees being blessed and benedicted in their own selves. This is the acid test of a devotee's non-envious heart. Because in sadhana bhakti, we perform bhakti and we have to analyze ourselves whether moving forward or not. If we feel rejoiceful, if we feel overjoyed and happy and ecstatic when we see other devotees performing devotional service better than you, other devotees getting the Lord's grace, other devotees getting accolades and praises and garlands and Guru's grace and pats, and if that makes us so happy, then we can know that we are getting the Lord's special mercy, that the heart is now being freed from the deep, long, long, long disease of anusuya, of envy. Because we can only understand Krishna's grace by being non-envious. Anusuyave. You saw Arjuna can remember me and understand me because you are Anusuyave. You are having a non-envious heart. So Srivas Thakur was so happy that now the Lord has again re-accepted him. He had rejected him. He had banished him from his association. And now he is accepted again. That made Srivas Thakur's heart so very happy. This is what we want to aspire for. A non-envious heart is a Vaishnava heart. It is not just our dress, or our shikha, or our pallu, or our tilak, which makes us a devotee. And not even our bead bag, and not even our deity worship. It is this heart which the Lord is seeing it within. These external acts of devotion must reach to a level of purification, chaturparna marjanam, whereby we lose all envy towards the Lord and His devotees. And the Lord's devotees brought Mukunda in front of Him, said, Mukunda, the Lord wants to see you right now, come! And the Mukunda was completely absorbed. He was completely in a different mood. He said, I will see, I will see, I will see. He was not at all even registering what the Lord was saying. He said, he will see, he wants to see you right now, come. And brought Mukunda in front of him. He became unconscious, he fainted. In Mahapur's Lila, people keep fainting a lot. You've seen? It means, I don't know why they faint so much. But I guess they're, of course, they're spiritual bodies, so I can think like medical terms. But it's just that when you have a high voltage current going through your body, you touch, 4,000 volts, what happens? You just get jolted. So you're in touch with the Lord who is the source of the Brahma Jyoti. Not high voltage. He is Brahma Jyoti himself. Swayam Prakash Krishna. A small portion of the Lord's Brahma Jyoti comes in this world as the sun. The sun is a small molecule of the Brahma Jyoti shining in material world. And that small molecule is illuminating the entire universe. Imagine. And the person who embodies the Brahma Jyoti is in front of you. You see, when you get, there's nothing else you can do, then become unconscious. That's all. And the Lord touches devotee. He said, rise, Mukunda. His touch puts you to unconsciousness and his touch makes you conscious also. Mukunda said, my dear Lord, I don't understand this. How is it that I am able to see you and feel happy when I have no devotion in my heart? It is just like Hiranyaksha saw you. The same beautiful form that the demigods were worshipping. Where Shukdeva and Narada were worshipping. But when he saw you, he felt no happiness in his heart. You showed the universal form to Duryodhana. And those who saw the universal form were so happy. Bhishma was happy. Dronacharya was happy. But this Duryodhana was not happy at all because he was so envious of you. In Mathura, in Vrindavan, those Yajnapandis saw you. Because they had devotion, they were so happy to see you. But when you were in Mathura, when Kamsa saw you, the same form which showed the Yajnapatnis, the Brijvasis, the same form went to Mathura. But when Chandra Mustika saw you, when Kamsa saw you, they did not feel happy. My heart is just the same. I have no devotion. What surprises me is that I am still feeling so happy to see you. This is the glorification of Mukunda. Say, my dear Mukunda, actually you have no offense whatsoever. The moment you said, the moment you had this faith that you will see me in 10 million birds, the moment you said that word, all whatever insignificant offense was there was immediately wiped out and went far away. In fact, you have no offenses. When you sing Mukunda, I manifest on your tongue. It is I who give the potency to sing which melts the devotees' hearts. You are my eternal associate. Whenever I come to this material world, you are my constant singer. It is Mukunda's glory that when he sings, and he would sing at Srivasangam so much. So we can even imagine what was the type of singing of Mukunda. When he would sing, every devotee was crying, Premashru. We sing Sisastakam, Nayanam Galadashru Dharaya. Every devotee was crying in ecstasy of love. Mukunda would sing. That was a pure, offenseless chanting of Mukunda. And the Lord was so happy to behold him. In this way, this whole Leela of the Sapta Praharya Leela was going on wonderfully. One day, we will end now very soon. The house of Srivas, very wonderful Leela took place. The Kirtan was going on as usual, with deep emotions being erupting from Mahaprabhu's heart. His body would go into horripilation. The ladies would be ululating. You know what is ululating? These Bengalis, they have this, they do. They were ululating. And he was so absorbed in the Lord's Kirtan. In the inside chambers, Srivasta Thakur's son died. There was sorrow in the house. The lady started crying, weeping. This untimely apparent death of this wonderful child of Srivasta Thakur. The news broke out and it reached Srivasta Thakur's ears. Your son is dead. Srivasta Thakur went inside the inner room and saw his son. He was very happy. He was so very happy. He told these ladies, do not cry. Do not cry, for your crying will disturb the ecstasy of the Lord. If in any way you have to cry, then cry softly. And if you cry and wail loudly and it disturbs the Lord's Kirtan, it will disturb me so badly that I will go and perform suicide in the Ganga. You can be assured, there is nothing inauspicious that happened here. The Supreme Personality of God, who is the source of all auspiciousness, who is the source of the Mother Ganga, he is performing kirtan in our own house. How can the departure of my son be inauspicious? It is supremely auspicious. So do not cry. He just went out of the room with a very big smile and started chanting and dancing and singing. Many hours passed, and then Mahaprabhu said, is some sorrow in this house? I feel not the same ecstasy as I was feeling. Is something inauspicious happened over here? The Lord, Srivasta Thakur immediately replied, my dear Lord, when you are there in my house, how can anything bad go happen here? And somebody came to the Lord and said, Srivasta Thakur's son has died. Oh, Srivasta's son has died? When did it happen? It happened 7.5 hours ago. So why did no one tell me? So they went inside. And went inside. Said, oh child, you have left this world. Mahaprabhu touched his hand to his chest. Said, Imagine got up. Rose from the dead. Everyone was amazed to see the child was just dead. Long ago, 7.5 hours ago, his corpse was lying there. Lifeless, motionless. Breathing again. He began talking. Said, my dear Lord, obeisance unto you. Your desire in this world is supreme. There's nothing more powerful in this world than your desire. It is by your desire that I was blessed to be born in the house of my father Srivasta Thakur and mother Malini. It is by your desire that I stayed and grew in this house and could behold and participate in your beautiful kirtans. It is by your desire that I'm now going to my next destination. My dear Lord, I'm just so grateful. Please bless me and give me permission to move on to the place where you desire me to go. Saying these few words of deep philosophy and realization, the Lord again, he again slept, became motionless. All the people were satisfied and pacified that this child has gone by the Lord's desire. And there was nothing to really worry about. But there was great disturbance in the heart of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Was terribly disturbed. He went into a corner and started crying. Everyone was very happy. Thakur was very happy. But the Lord was upset. Said, how can I give up the association of a devotee who does not even grieve at the loss of his son so as to not disturb my kirtan? The Lord was reminiscing that very soon now he will be taking sannyas. And sannyas means we have to live Navadvip and leave the association of a dear, dear, dear devotee like Srivas Thakur, who had so much faith and love in the Lord that his grief of the heart meant nothing to him. In fact, he must have felt it was an act of selfishness to cry because my son has gone. But this is the extreme example of Sam Siddhir Haritoshanam. It's the extreme example. The devotee will not cry. It is not hard-heartedness, my dear friends. It is not impersonalism. This is not fanaticism. This is deep devotion to the Lord. And we can never imitate. It is natural for a father or mother to cry at the loss of a dear one. This is natural human emotion, which must be Krishnaized, of course, by association of Vaishnavas and proper guidance. But this is the extreme example of a person who loves the Lord so much that his grief means something insignificant and unimportant for him. So the Lord is not revealing that he is going to take sannyas. Why did the Lord take sannyas? He was now to come back to Sivas Angan. The purpose of Sivas Angan is to flood the whole world with the loud chanting of Krishna's holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. The world had to be flooded with the tsunami wave of pure love. For that, the Lord, who is the owner of the tsunami, who is the carrier of this love, had to move out of the precincts of the small village of Navadvip. So it was imperative that he take sannyas and leave his devotees brokenhearted in a mood of Vipralamba. The same movement, the same holy name, that descended down the parampara and is brought by to us, all of us, by His divine grace. Remembering the worthy remembrance of the first kirtan of the Western Hemisphere, 1966, when Prabhupada was in New York, the small place, matchless gift. It was this very day of Gaur Purnima that Prabhupada just one day previous said, tomorrow we shall fast the whole day. So they know they were reading from the scriptures, reading the Gita and like that, and they were chanting Hare Krishna. And I mean, American people, and I mean Indians also, we just sit in one place and keep chanting. How long can you chant? So they thought, let's go out. So they went out with a small Harinam and they walked up to the small Sankirtan party which reached a few blocks away, which where Prabhupada was staying in his apartment, and they were on the roads performing Kirtan. Unknown to them, this was the first public Harinam of the Western Hemisphere on the day of Sri Gaur Purnima. Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki! And having had this experience that they can even go out and do kirtan, it was the first thing, it was very novel, very new. Today it is a very usual sight to see devotees, all, you know. But please remember, this is something which is absolutely foreign and alien to Western people, that somebody in what they called as bed sheets, and on the roads with the pigtails behind their bodies, and having these drums and chanting Hare Krishna. And Prabhupada, for the first time, then took a public performance. Just like Chand Kazi's house, the mount they went. Prabhupada's first Chand Kazi type of activity was to go to this Tompkins Square Park. And Prabhupada had no mrudanga, nothing. Just a small bongo, right? He was playing, right? And he attracted the entire Western world at Tompkins Square Park, with his intense, when we see Prabhupada's kirtan, we can practically feel his heartfelt prayers, praying to Mahaprabhu, praying to Nityananda, praying to Advaita, praying to the Panchatattva, to manifest themselves in this kirtan and attract the whole world, right? And we see all these young men and women, with all sorts of various obscure, mannerisms and movements, but all intoxicated, chanting, dancing, hand in hand, and absorbed in lovingly remembering and rejoicing in the kirtan of the holy names, chanting loudly and happily, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, 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 Hare. So let us, in a very prayerful heart, hope that this very holy place, Sivas Angan, which is the hub of the universe practically, of the spiritual world, the Gomukh of the birthplace of the Sankirtan movement, that we can have this understanding, we can have our hearts receptive to practice a lifestyle where we can all, Sankirtan means to serve, to glorify the Lord together. That we can have enough understanding, where we can give up our false egos, misunderstandings, where we can cooperate happily, live together as one community, one large family of devotees of Mahaprabhu, of Prabhupada's family. And in this way, with the joint power of synergy, of unison, of cooperation, spread the Sankirtan movement to every town and village of this world. Hare Krishna.